Hey everybody, welcome to Cincinnati Real Producers Podcast, powered by Next Door Photos. I'm Patrick Braddock, owner and publisher of Cincinnati Real Producers.
And I'm Daniel Ziegler, owner of Next Door Photos. Every week, we're getting to know Cincinnati's top realtors.
Our goal is to elevate and inspire the real estate community throughout Greater Cincinnati.
Today, we have Jennifer Voorhees, the team lead for the Voorhees Group, brokered by Keller Williams Realty Services. Jen has been selling real estate since 2006, and her career sales volume is over $437 million. In 2023 alone, her team's volume was over $43 million. Jen was honored as the fastest growing business in the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce in 2017, 2018, and 2019. She was the cultural ambassador for the Keller Williams Ohio Valley region, representing over 20,000 agents. During the years 2011 through 2018, she was the top agent at Keller Williams Realty Services in sales. By her peers, she was also awarded the Good Neighbor Award at the Northern Kentucky Association of Realtors. Welcome to the show, Jennifer Voorhees.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hey.
It's good to have you.
Wonderful.
Good to see you guys.
It's good to see you. Again. I always have to let the cat out of the bag that we screwed up, Daniel.
Makes us look bad, Pat. I wish you wouldn't do that.
It's okay. We'll edit this out.
It kind of just makes you feel better,
doesn't it? It
does. Well, I was actually wondering. I'm wondering if they're going to say that or not, like on the way here, but it doesn't matter. Either way. Yeah.
Camera malfunctions.
That's it.
We've added a third camera. It's not going to happen again.
There's a process. Right. Yeah, we're learning. That's learning. We'll be good though. And it's a great conversation to be had with you again, Jennifer. So
thank you.
We enjoyed getting to know you, and I think that was the first time I had ever met you. And just a very empowering, you know, start to where you got into the business and where you came from and then where you're going with it. It's like you're almost past the moon at this point. Like, you know, let's go to the moon, you know, like she's on her way to the sun, man. So
I'm working my way there.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
Go for it. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, alluding to the fact that we've already had this conversation, one of the most impactful things that Patrick and I really enjoyed hearing from you was your background. And I think that's something that's kind of, it's unique. And I think it's fun to hear anybody's background and kind of hear where you've come from and the journey, that you've been on to get to where you are today. So if you don't mind, let's take it back
memory
lane here.
Well, first and foremost, thank you guys for having me very, very much. And thank you for inviting me back. So
absolutely.
That means I didn't do too bad the first time.
You were great.
So, country girl, grew up, started actually in Erlanger with my parents. And then we ended up moving out to a farm in Boone County. Sorry, I don't even know why I said Boone County, because I live in Boone County, Grant County. moved out to Grant County, and my parents were blessed that they were able to buy about an 80-acre farm. And immediately, pretty much upon us moving there, they started in tobacco. And that was a second career for them, and it never ended. It constantly goes. So you have to go to work every day and make the regular bills, and then you had to do tobacco at night when they came home. So when I was about 5 years old is about the first time that I started stripping tobacco in our tobacco house that we had there. And I bring that up all the time because I think I told you guys before, my husband cracks up that it's part of my story, but it is who I am. And my parents taught me work ethic at a very young age. And on top of doing tobacco for 16 years while I lived with them, we had cows, we had chickens, you know, we did hay. And I remember picking up hay bales when I was probably 8-9 years old. But when I was younger than that, I was actually driving the tractor, like at 7-8 years old.
Oh my gosh.
All I had to do was stay in a straight line. So right. It wasn't like I had to put my pedal on, you know, my dad got it all prepared for me and then they put the hay bales on. But that growing up on a farm and never having really a minute off, it just, as I got older, I realized that, you know, it was interesting as a young girl because I didn't get to do the things that my friends got to do all the time. Like, you know, we're out here by Kings Island. They got to come to Kings Island for senior day. I didn't get to do that. I never missed a day of school my whole life. And that was because my parents first wanted me to go to school. And then by the 9th grade, they were like, oh, Jen, you know, you can take off if you want. Cause I begged them, just let me miss some school. By that time, you know, it was 9th grade. It was 10 years in kindergarten through, you know, the 9th grade. And I just wanted to be like the other kids. And I'm so glad that they kept me on the path that they kept me on, because I did graduate Grant County. I never missed a day of school in my life. And I believe I was the first person in that school to do that. But as a young girl, I was glad to go to school because it was get up early in the morning, take care of the farm, come get off the bus, go straight into the stripping room or go to the fields and plant the tobacco or, you know, cut the tobacco or hang the tobacco, whatever it was. So I was always in a path of productivity. Mm-hmm. And I never knew what that was going to do in my adult life. But when I was younger, I was like, let me miss school. When I got to the 10th grade, let me miss school because I was over it. But when I was younger, I was like, let me go to school. There's air conditioning, there's food, and I don't have to work. So I'm like, yeah. But I got in trouble all the time too. You know, we talked about that a little bit because, you know, I am a high I personality. Never knew really what that was until I got into the real estate world. So it's really neat because I learned, my mom and dad taught me how to work hard. And then when I got into this profession, I'm like, ooh, I can take that and I can apply that to the things that I'm learning at Keller Williams and real estate. And it threw me so fast into the business world that it was hard for me to catch up with it. Mm-hmm. So I truly attest, and I hope my mom and dad listens to this, what I am today is 100% because of what they taught me as a young person. Always look at the world as what can I do to help others and what can I do to help myself succeed? And there is no doubt growing up on a farm is one of the reasons why I am who I am and I get to do what I do.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What age were you when you recognized that? I mean, for me, like I love my folks and everything like that. But I hated them growing up because they were so strict and everything. Looking back, I'm like, man, I know why they were the way they were. You know, how old were you when you recognized like, you know, man, all of that was them teaching me.
Yeah.
And loving on me and all.
Man, that's a great question. So I would probably say when I got my first big girl job, I had always worked like on the farm and like little restaurants and stuff to get out of tobacco, just, you know, not because I wanted to do that. But I started working at Argosy Casino when I was 21 and I realized really quick that I worked harder than anyone else, even my bosses. I mean, I would get there on time. I clocked out late. I cleaned up everyone's workstations. And at the end of the day, I always had more money than the other cocktails did. And I always tipped my bartenders more than the other cocktails did. And I thought, why? Like, why am I, what is that driving factor? And I knew then that that was going to be in any job that I ever decided to do. And I knew I was always going to outwork, outperform, and make more money than anyone. And that's when, like, somewhere around that 21, 22 year mark is when I was like, I got this. I know I'll never be broke. I will never live on the streets. Mm-hmm. I know whatever it is, I will be able to take care of myself. And, you know, I had a son at the time. So that you would think was the driving force, but it was really my background was the driving force. So I was pretty young, 21, 22.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I think we talked about last time too, that work ethic isn't something you really learn. Like that's not something you can It is learned, but it's experienced. Yeah. It's not just taught like theoretically. That's something that you have to learn through experience.
And that is 100% right. So a little bit about the work ethic part. My mom never missed any work ever. She retired from the IRS just a few years ago, right before COVID. She did 43 years at the IRS. She had like a couple years vacation saved up and sick time. But she didn't take the sick time because she just never was sick. And my dad was never sick. So they never just went out and played. We had a great life when I was younger, but they didn't take days off just to be days off. If they needed a day off, it was because like I needed to go to the dentist or, you know, it was a family affair.
It was scheduled.
Basically. It was scheduled or we had a death in the family. Mm-hmm. They never, ever hit the snooze button. And I knew that from a very young age. My mom's alarm clock would go off at 4 o'clock every morning.
Holy cow.
Every freaking morning. And there's not one time I ever heard her hit the snooze button.
Wow.
She bounced out of bed and she went straight into work and she did her thing. And my dad was the same. As my parents started having children, you know, my dad would get up, take care of my three sisters, get us all wherever we needed to go. No complaining. Just doing the things that you need to do to be a great person and a great example for their kids. Mm-hmm. And I never call off work. Even with school going 13 years perfect attendance, even in my job today, and I'm my own boss, I can take off whenever I want. I choose not to because how I show up for my people is how I want them to show up for me. And that's exactly what my mom and dad was teaching me, but I didn't know that they were teaching me that.
Right. It's incredible discipline.
it is incredible discipline for them to feed that into all of their children.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they knew what they were doing at that point. You know, they were awesome, but I don't think that they knew what they were breeding and, you know, instilling in us as, you know, our parents.
Yeah. Well, speaking of siblings, you have siblings. I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
And I don't think we've ever talked, so I don't know anything about your
family. Yeah, so I was 10 when my parents decided to reproduce again. So I had it made. And, you know, other than working all the time.
We did talk about this. Yeah. I remember now because you're significantly younger. That's right.
Yeah, so Jacqueline was born when I was 10. She is actually a professional at P&G. Go figure. And she's also a politician, and she's the magistrate in our hometown. So she is just an amazing human.
Wow, that's awesome.
Mother of twins. Just I always told my parents that they had us backwards. She should have been born first to lead us, and then I should have been born second. But I don't know. It's just a little family joke in between us because she's just a powerhouse. She's really just a fantastic human. And then Ashley came next, and then Brittany came third. So at one point, we had four girls sharing one bathroom. Actually, four girls and my parents sharing one bathroom in a single wide trailer. So that got really, really fun. And then we upgraded to a double wide trailer, which we got two bathrooms in. So that was really cool. But my sisters, you know, growing up, I moved out when I was 16 to go to college. I didn't get to see them very much, but I always went back home to see them because they were still small when I was kind of going into my, you know, I guess from my teenage years. And we are so close now. My sisters are my world. I get to talk to them all the time. We're a big loving family. You know, we take vacations to Florida every single year or Alabama, just kind of depending. But my nephews and my nieces, I love them to death. And
that's awesome.
It's a blessing to be able to share my life with them.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, and the reason I was curious too, like you were talking about your what was your sister's name, the one you mentioned at P&G?
Jacqueline.
Jacqueline, you know, that she's a powerhouse. I was like, I bet they're all doing something pretty impressive because
they really all are.
Collective upbringing.
Absolutely. All of them have their own unique touch in their own world. You know, Ashley works at, she is in the pharmacy world.
Okay.
And then Brittany has the most amazing voice that you will ever hear in your entire life. Literally, the girl should be in LA producing music every single day. She's just not got her break yet. And she's also an entrepreneur. She has her own business in Cincinnati, and she's done fantastic there as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They're all just amazing humans.
Yeah. That's incredible.
And then going back to what your folks not knowing what they were doing at the time, or maybe not recognizing what they were doing and instilling all that integrity and discipline and work ethic in you guys, you know, I'm sure they come to me, they come off as the type of people who are, you know, as long as our family is successful, as long as my girls grow up to be successful, upstanding citizens in the community, we've done our job. That's kind of what I'm getting from, from that, you know, and that seems like it's a simple, but such a big accomplishment, you know?
I think that they did very, very well.
Yeah.
It brings so much joy to my heart to know that my parents, whatever they focused on, always expanded. And they not only worked hard, they definitely worked hard, but they played hard as well.
That's awesome.
And you can't really get that balance in a lot of families because we would do everything on the farm. And, you know, they both had full-time jobs and they had the three little girls and they would have summer parties, just like the ones that I have for all my clients. And that's how I learned the give back. Mm. You know, I work hard. But don't just work just to work, work to enjoy life. I mean, I remember, I think the first party we had, I was probably 7 or 8 years old. My dad hired a band. They put them on the back of a gooseneck trailer, which is, you know, a trailer that we use on the farm. And that was my first experience of live music. And I fell in love. Mm-hmm. And we had a live band. They played all night long. We rode our four-wheelers. You know, we played any kind of sport that was in our front yard. And mind you, we had 80 some acres, so we were all over the place. We had a pool, above ground pool. And I just thought to myself, man, this is really cool. My parents are, I know they work hard because I don't get to see them too often, but all these people love them and everybody would come. Mm-hmm. I mean, people from my mom's work and people from my dad's work, they played softball. They were on a bowling league. Like they were so involved with their friends, but they never forgot about us and how to raise us. It was cool. And the craziest thing is when my sisters started being born when I was 10, they didn't get to experience that part of my parents because then they were raising three toddlers. So they, you know, my mom quit karate. My mom was a black belt in karate, just FYI.
Whoa.
She was kicking butt. And, you know, they both played softball together. They both were on a bowling league together and all that kind of dissipated. But I know that that was really good timing for them because they grew their family. And it's kind of weird. I'm sure you guys have went through this before. Like you hit a certain age or your kids get a certain age and then you think, oh, my mom was 24 at one time. And I remember, like, I think back like how young I was when she was raising me. And then I'm kind of in that moment, even though it was 20 years ago, like, wow, that I remember my mom at 24 when I was whatever age. Like that was, it was really, really cool being able to kind of like just look back in the past, like me being a parent of three now. It's really cool. And I promise I wish I was as good of parents as my parents, because I'm not. I try, but definitely not as good as my mom and dad.
I'm sure you are. I can just picture your parents sitting back listening to this, like, yeah, we did it.
My dad's probably having a nice cold Budweiser
there
listening
we go.
Right now.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's awesome.
You know, I know you said you worked at the casino. And then that actually transitions you into real estate, but you also have that connection with the casino as far as trying to recruit people. Is that correct?
I do.
Absolutely. You want to dive into that and we'll start talking about Keller Williams and your journey in real estate.
So I was recruited when I was 23 to go to Louisville, Kentucky and open up another casino, which was kind of neat. I'd never left the area before, especially being, you know, a homegrown Grant County girl. It was very interesting to go to a big city. So I went there for a few years. And I ended up coming back home. And when I came back to Argosy, back to my regular casino, one of my guests was like, Jen, you would be really good at real estate. And I was like, well, what is this thing you call real estate? Like, intrigued me because I'm getting my second degree at that time at Sullivan University and for business, because I knew I was either going to stay in the casino and climb my way up there or I was going to have to find something else. And my body truly was breaking down. I was almost in my 30s, wearing 3-inch stilettos and carrying two trays at a time on Saturday nights was a lot of, you know, physical damage on your body. And anyway, he brought me over here to Ohio, which was really cool. He worked at RE/MAX. He was one of their top agents. And I handed him my license. And he said, Jen, you are from Kentucky. I cannot hire you. And I'm like, and my whole world just kind of stopped because I thought I'm getting out of the casino. I'm going to have like a great job. And this guy's kicking butt and I can be his assistant. And he looked at me and he said, Jen, I'm going to do you the biggest favor that I could ever do you. You need to go back to Kentucky and get your real estate license. And I was like, well, what am I going to do with a real estate license? Like, I don't even know what that world looks like. And he said, I will teach you and I'll show you the path of where to go. And that's what I did. So I went back home with my head down, probably cried because I was really looking forward to working with Rick and got my license. It took me about a year because that was when things were in class. So you actually had to go to class, stayed at the casino for 2 years, worked in real estate for 2 years, and then my business just started taking off because remember when I told you that I outworked everybody at the casino? They all knew it. All the dealers knew it. All the pit bosses knew it. All the, you know, my friends that were cocktails, they knew my work ethic, and immediately I started getting leads. I started closing deals inside of the casino, and then I got to the point where I was like, whoa, I can't do this all on my own. And that's kind of where my business went, and it went really, really quick because everyone knew my work ethic. So I didn't have to lead generate then, you know, because I was a small business, and the deals just came to me just because of who I was. So that was incredible and such a blessing that I really didn't have to work hard to start getting those few deals in my pocket, which that's was awesome. Great. But I guess I did work hard. I just worked hard, you know, while people were watching me do other things. They watched me study. I would study in the lunchroom downstairs on the boat because we were on a boat at the time. And they watched me for like 2 years, just study, study, study. And then people would come up like, you're going to do this, aren't you? I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I'd start handing out my business cards. Nice. And that was history, you know?
That's awesome. So awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I love that too, that one of the challenges that we've heard over and over in real estate is getting started. And especially, you know, I mean, because you have to go without income because typically you're going to go at least 6 months without before you have your first closing, right?
Yeah.
And to be able to,
if you're lucky. I mean, for me, it was seven.
Right.
But I had another job.
But to be able to continue working and then have all those leads come to you, that's like, that was the perfect little blend for you to really get off the ground.
It was awesome too. And think about it. I had thousands of people that I saw every single day that I served, and all of my community that was in the casino business with me at the same time. And that was my second casino. So I could even get leads from Louisville, where I used to work at, but I never knew like how big I was going to grow this. At first it was almost like a hobby job because I didn't know how beautiful this could be until I was actually introduced to Keller. I was at Remax, great company. I loved everything about that company, but my mindset for whatever reason was so much more than being a solo agent. And I didn't even know the word was solo agent. Right. When I got introduced to Keller, it made sense because I was already on a burnout, which is insane for me to tell you guys. I was 3 years in and, you know, I was to the point where I was closing like 30 deals a year by myself. Dropped a file on the ground. My broker called me and he said, "Hey, Jen, you dropped a file." And I argued with him that it wasn't my clients. He read the contract off me, told me what their names were. But because I was in such a burnout, because I was working, you know, both jobs and had babies and I was married, it was just a lot. And when I got to work the next day, I'm like, holy crap, this is not good. I'm not giving my clients good customer service. I got to either leave real estate because I'm not going to be that agent that just half butt does something, or I'm going to have to just stay in the casino. Like, it's one thing was going to have to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's when I kind of drew my line in the sand. And I knew that the company that I was with wasn't the right company because they didn't have the systems and models that I needed. Again, I was very young. I'm talking words that I know now. I didn't know those words then,
right.
But I was looking for something. Mm-hmm. And here come Keller. And they're like, "Jen, you're broken. Like, you've got all the business that you need. You have got to hire." And I was like, what do you mean hire? Mm-hmm. And they showed me the path of growing a real estate business instead of being a solo agent. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sometimes it does take a long time to get your business off the ground, but if you have the right people, systems, and models around you, you can go a lot faster, like a whole bunch faster.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
It's crazy to think, like, just being a full-time real estate agent, 30 transactions or 30 deals a year is a ton.
And it was a ton. And on top of it,
you're working another job.
Full-time. Like, from 11 o'clock at night to 7 a.m. in the morning.
Unbelievable.
My schedule then was bonkers.
When did you sleep?
Well, I was young then and I didn't need to. Gosh. Like, now I get a full 8, but I would go into work at 11 p.m. I would work until 7. My sister would get my son on the bus for me because I was living with her because I just transitioned back to Louisville from Louisville, and they would get my son on the bus for me. I would go to Lexington to finish out my career, or sorry, my degree. I had 2 semesters left to get my degree done. So I would drive there, get my classes in, then go home and sleep for about 4 hours, get Quentin off the bus in the afternoon, love on him for a while, sleep maybe here or there, depending if he had a soccer game or not, and then go right back in and do it all over again. But when you're young, you're just fast. You just do it. You know, you just do it. Now, I could not do that now. If you asked me to go into work at 11 o'clock at night, no. My husband will tell you I'm in bed by 9 o'clock every single night. Yeah. Every night. Every single night. Like clockwork.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I got to shut down my brain because there's a lot of things going on in between here.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot, you talked about work ethic, but just listening to that schedule has got my mind like...
I think the same thing, Daniel. I think to myself, like, how did I not... Right? But I think when you're young, you're a different version of you as an older human, and you just have so much more energy, and you have passion because you see what it could be. Mm-hmm. I was just never tired. And Quentin was just such a joy to raise. He was my first son, and it was... I didn't want to miss anything. Yeah. I'd already missed enough, you know, being in the casino business, working nights, weekends, holidays. So going back to your question about the recruiting, when I knew that this business was going to be bigger than just me, I started looking around at people that I could help impact their lives, like Rick impacted mine. And the very first thing that I thought of is I need to go back to the people that I worked with in the casino that had the same work ethic as me. Because I'm not going to have to teach them that, Daniel. They already had it, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have to work nights. They don't have to work weekends. They don't have to work every single holiday like we did, every single holiday. If I could introduce real estate to them and they could help people, because that's what we did at the casino. We helped them have a good experience. They would then be able to make more money, have more time with their family, and be able to have maybe a business like mine or a business that they created for themselves. So today was a really awesome day for me. It was the first day that I was able to introduce one of my other best friends to our business. So Stephanie actually joined our team from Louisville. I met her in the casino when I was 23, and she's an insurance adjuster. And now she's working in our business part-time because she's going to do the same thing that I did. In about 5 years, she'll transition out of insurance, and then she'll be a full-time real estate agent. And I've done that with probably about 10 people out of the casino business so far. And it's been life-changing for a lot of them.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. And it's a blessing, and you don't have to break their bad habits because they don't have any, because they already know how to work hard.
Yeah. Right.
And they know how to show up, and they don't have to work holidays and weekends. They're like, yeah.
Sounds great.
I'm in.
Well, that's what's so great about real estate is if you have that work ethic and you have that desire, like maybe you're on a 5-year plan that only takes 2 years,
right?
You know, and that mentality of, well, hey, if I continue to do what she tells me to do and I work hard, maybe I could be out in 4 years.
Maybe you could be out in a year.
Exactly.
I've seen people do it in a year.
Yeah.
And it's the systems, the models, and the people that you're around. And obviously, you got to do the work.
Yeah.
And not most people want the joy, but they don't want to go through the work.
The pain.
The pain to get the joy. But I really couldn't tell you guys. I wake up every single day just thrilled to get to do what I do.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Somebody actually asked me, they came into an open house this past weekend, and I could tell that he thought my answer was going to be no. He goes, I know you really just don't like giving up your Saturdays. And I was like, no, I love coming here for, you know, whatever time my open houses are, because I get to meet people like you. I get to help your mom find the right house because he was shopping for his mom. And I get to empower people while doing all that on my schedule.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. You know, I'll schedule my open houses when we don't have kids stuff going on or family events, because it's my business.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knows that but me, which is really neat.
That's really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I love that. So I think work ethic goes without, I mean, that is something that is far and above that. That is Jen Voorhees. What I like also, and we hinted at it in your introduction, was this, the Good Neighbor Award, which I love. And let's talk a little bit about that, because I think the way that you handle yourself in your business has earned you a reputation, a really positive reputation in how you handle your business. And I think that is something that has also helped you grow your business because others have noticed it. You know, peers have obviously noticed it because you've won an award, but right. I think your clients see that too.
Yeah.
So what do you think? We're talking, I guess, kind of what is the secret sauce for you, but what do you think that has... How did you go about winning that award, do you think? What is it that people have seen in you?
You know, I was talking to my dad about my grandmother about a month ago, and she had passed when I was 10, before my sisters were born, and she was my best friend. And I forgot a piece about her, and my dad brought it back up. And he said, my mom was the most giving person I've ever met in my life. And she would give the shirt off her back, and they had nothing. Like my grandpa worked 2 full-time jobs. She was a stay-at-home mom to 10 children. And gosh. I just remember when he said, like when he said that, it sparked. And I appreciate you asking me that question. I've always been a giver. My whole entire life, I've lived my life to serve God and to serve my community. But I didn't really know what that was until obviously I became an adult. And when my dad said that, I'm like, that's it. You know, I know where I got it from. I got it from my best friend, you know, my grandma, before she passed. I watched her, and I wanted to do the things that she did. And my dad watched her, and my dad's a giver, and my mom's a giver. My whole family's a giver. So for me, it just came naturally. And I always wanted to do things differently. When I first got my license, it was really rough. People, and I hate to say this, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Agents treated me bad. Because I was new, everyone wanted to pick a fight. They were like, oh, you're new, you don't know what you're doing. And I'm like, what? I mean, I'm trying to bring you an offer here. And I remember standing in the kitchen of my first client's house. We had like a party, and I told my mom, and my mom's best friend was she was a loan processor in the real estate world. And I said, I'm going to change this industry one person at a time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to love on these agents. I'm going to show them that you don't have to put your boxing gloves on to get a deal done. I'm going to pick up my phone, and I'm going to do the things that I need to do to make my business better. And I'm going to show them that even though you have to negotiate, you don't have to hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I have every single phone call that I make is just about that. And then I give back to my community. Daniel, I know you live in Triple Crown with me. And I just want to be the person that, yes, I want to sell a lot of real estate. And yes, I want to still be the number one realtor in Northern Kentucky. It's always been my goal. Number one, why not? You know, who wants to be number two? You know, I'm right there right now. And I'm still working for the number one position. But I always wanted to do something different. When people thought of me, I wanted them to think about real estate and how can I help impact them and make good decisions. but I also wanted to be the person that they knew that they can come to for sponsorship, for a good time. Like, you know, we have the movie nights in Triple Crown, and then for our community in real estate, when someone got hurt, there was no one would really spearhead like an event to raise money for them. Well, just going back to my parents and then them just teaching me how to always give back and the parties that they had, I'd be the first one to jump up and say, yep, I'll host this. Like, yep, we'll do this, or we'll have this event, or we'll raise this money. And every single year I do the golf outing that raises thousands of dollars. We're into hundreds of thousands of dollars now for our communities. We split that money up and we give it to local nonprofits. There's so many things that we do. I always want to be successful in real estate, but I want to serve God first. And serving God is doing the things for our community that we can do. All really came from my Grandma Betty.
Grandma Betty, we love you.
Oh my gosh. Man. She would be really proud. One day I'll see her again.
That's awesome.
That. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I had a Grandma Betty too.
Ah, they're awesome, aren't they?
Yep.
I think that's really interesting. Talking to real estate agents and real estate professionals, the competition in real estate is always going to be there, but the people who can get through their minds that collaborating is more important than the competition tend to do better. So it's really no surprise to hear when you say that, to see the success that you've had based on the way you treat people, you know, and how you would like to be treated as well. I just think that's a great testament to you and your personality as well.
Thank you. I think the easiest thing is just be nice. Yeah. It's easy to be nice.
Yeah.
It takes so much energy to be negative. And in our career, and most people know, a lot of us are not looked at as professionals. And it's because of that. Just be kind, be generous, be authentic. Yeah. My husband would say I'm the most genuine person that you'll ever meet. And until he told me that, I would never really thought about it, but I am genuine and yeah. I want the best for people. I want the best for my competition. I will never undercut you. I will never talk bad about you in a listing presentation. If you are going to beat me, you're going to beat me fair and square. It's not going to be me throwing you under the bus. It's your stats are going to be better than mine, or something's going to happen, because I always think that I'm the best pick because I'll work harder for you. I'll work my tail off. It's interesting, and we can still be competitors, but just play nice.
Right.
Right.
Just play nice.
Yeah. Well, and that's so wonderful that, I mean, it's so obvious to see how genuine you are just based on the few times that I've met you personally. For everybody who's listening or watching, I was telling you guys, it's very easy for you to walk in and be annoyed with us for screwing up, you know?
Oh,
it's
no
like,
way.
When you walked in and you were just so gracious, I was like, man, you just radiate positivity. And that was, so we definitely appreciate you for sure.
I thank you guys for bringing me back. That absolutely. Means that I didn't do a bad job the first time.
You were awesome.
You were awesome.
And that's why we were excited to bring you back. It's like, we get to have the conversation again. Yeah, so,
I love it.
But
our conversation is not over.
Yay.
We want to ask you some advice that you might want to offer. You can offer advice for new agents, for buyers and sellers. But real quickly before we do, we just want to thank Back to Back Ministries, as we always do,
absolutely.
For letting us use this awesome studio. So Back to Back Ministries is a global nonprofit orphan care organization with their sights set on providing care for today and hope for every tomorrow. From Cincinnati, Ohio to Hyderabad, India, staff teams around the world are stepping into hard stories and choosing to stay. To learn more about the work Back to Back does, how you can get involved, and why a global team won't stop until every child is known and loved, visit backtoback.org today.
Thank you, Back to Back.
Absolutely. What a great organization.
Yeah,
really is.
Yeah, for sure. So I think the one thing that I would like to talk about is having the systems and the models for the new agents out there, or the agents that are looking to get to another height. I knew when I got into the Keller systems that I needed more people to help support me. And it wasn't a bad thing. They taught me that delegation was a great thing. So I fell in love with my husband at the casino, and it's not a great place to be at for too long because, you know, it's a negative environment. So I knew that I needed to get him out of there. So I was on a 5-year plan to retire Aaron, which I did on the 5 years, which was incredible because Keller makes you think big, and I never had thought big before. So we got him out of the casino. He was my person that helped me take care of the house and the kids because we have 3 beautiful children. And he was like my foundation. And then from there, I was able to grow the systems, the models, and the people. So I was able to hire to another delegator, if you would, to take care of the contract to close, which is Sandy. She's been with me 10 years this year, which is unbelievable. You cannot have a big business unless you have a ride or die beside of you that understands who you are and will pick you up when you fall and do all the things that you can't do at a very, very high level. And I was okay saying that I wasn't good at a lot of things. So she could do those a lot of things and I could go out and be the frontliner for the people, mm-hmm. And the negotiator and go get the deals. So that is super important when you're building any kind of business, real estate or whatever you're doing. You have to create a really strong foundation and you have to understand that growing a business is not easy and there's going to be a lot of things that happen that are going to hurt your heart. And especially when you're, you know, someone like me that I love people so much. I hate letting people down. And unfortunately, in the 13 years that I've been with Keller, I have grown a team and the team has dissipated. And then it's rose back up and then it's fallen apart again. And one of the biggest things about real estate that I hope everyone understands, it's okay to fail. It's actually needed. You have got to go through that because you cannot stay the same person that you are succeeding all the time. You can't get success unless you fail. So I've had to dehire people. I've had to dehire coaches. I've had to rehire coaches. I've had to look for opportunities outside of Keller Williams with different coaches because I've kind of, at one point, I started out coaching my coaches because I knew, like I had already knew the systems and the models. I needed something more. And I just want the agents that are thinking about getting their license or the ones that are maybe stuck at a plateau right now, it's okay to fail. You have got to embrace it and embrace it, fall down, look at everything again, like figure out what you did to fail and fix it. And then maneuver forward. Mm-hmm. That was really hard for me right when I started at Keller because the first few years I had a ton of leads coming in, like I told you guys. That is normally the biggest problem in real estate. You don't have the leads. Well, I've never had that problem. I always have a ton of business. It was just the delegating part, like who's going to be my buyer's agent? Who's going to be my listing coordinator? And to be honest with you, I'm 13 years in. I'm still the listing coordinator. I would love to find somebody that ran side by side of me at the pace that I do, with the love that I have to help me on that part, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. When God is ready to put that person in my life, it will happen, and then we'll just grow to another level. Yeah. So I think that's some of the biggest advice that I can give. And the last time that we had talked, I think it's super important that if you're getting your real estate license, you absolutely have to get a coach. Maybe get a coach that doesn't cost you anything. Find a mentor that you can work with. Like at our office, we've got Chelsea and Aubrey that are just amazing humans, teacher background, and they take you as a brand new agent, hold your hand for a full year and show you how to do the business correctly. Wow. There's hardly any other company that does that. Even Keller Williams, not all the Keller Williams have that, even though that's our model. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why we're probably the number one company in Northern Kentucky. I mean, we're kicking everybody's butt because we have those girls that are teaching people how to do it right instead of just throwing them out there to the world saying, see what sticks. Very they already know what sticks and they teach it. Uh-huh. So having a coach, especially when you get into real estate, is super important. But I have a coach. I still have a coach. I will have a coach until I don't do this business anymore because I'm trying to get to the $1 million GCI where I'm at now, to the 2 million, to the 3 million where Cindy's at. And it's not because of the money. It's about the people that I can impact. And my money goes to all my nonprofits. So how many more nonprofits can I help? That's what fuels me. Mm-hmm. So if you can get into coaching and understand that it might take a little bit of money out of your pocket, but it'll shoot you to the moon, like you said earlier, mm-hmm. because you need the people to teach you how to do this business because there's so much of it to learn. Right. I'm still learning every single day, which is incredible.
Right.
You know, being where I'm at now. That's
what makes it so fun, too.
I love it.
You know?
I'm ADHD. I've never taken meds for my craziness. And I really think that this is my gift to, you know, real estate's the gift to me because I can always keep going and learn and I don't get bored.
That's awesome.
You know, because it's every day something's new. It's a new person. It's a new challenge. It's a new house. It's a different piece of land. It's, you know, a new lawsuit because God knows you got those in real estate mm-hmm. and you get to learn about them. And then you get to be like, okay, I learned that. Who can I teach that to?
Right.
So always being learning based. You got to do it.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Man, if it's possible, I think the second conversation was even better than our first.
Yeah, it really was.
I hope so. Well, this was my second podcast with you all and my second only.
Two for two.
Yeah, so I love it. I love being able to share my story. And if I can impact someone in a positive way, I love to recruit, like you guys know. someone recruited me into the business a long time ago. And because of that one conversation, I have been able to impact so many people's lives. And I hope that I can do that for many more people. I'm the number one recruiter at Keller Williams in Northern Kentucky. And if anybody's listening to this, I would love to talk to you about a career in real estate. Northern Kentucky, actually, our office offers zero money to you, where you can go take your license and you can take the classes online. You have to do it within 6 months and it costs you zero. We do not even have you sign with us because we are a company that we want to make sure that you're making the right decision for yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. We want you to sign with Keller, but if you choose to go to another company, we'll hug you and hopefully I'll do a deal with you later on down the line. So if anyone's listening, you know, reach out to me. I would love to be your mentor.
Absolutely. And everybody be lucky to work with you.
Thank you. Not everybody thinks that though, but it's okay. Cause that's part of the failure of this business.
It's the way it goes.
Yep. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much for being a part of
it. Yes. Thank you guys.
Yeah. Thank you for your grace.
It's a pleasure. Yeah. Absolutely. I really appreciate you guys' time and I appreciate you inviting me back again.
Always.
Thank you for coming.
We're going to do it again.
Just round three.
Just to have a recap.
That would be awesome. Well, bring me back when I get to that 3,000 or $3 million mark where Cindy's at.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's do that.
That would be awesome.
Deal.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Appreciate Thanks, Jen.
Yeah. Perfect.
Thanks for listening to the Cincinnati Real Producers Podcast, powered by Nextdoor Photos. We do this every week, so be sure to subscribe so you can follow along. If you liked our conversation, leave us a review. We'd love to hear your thoughts.